Need a website that drives real results? AmericanEagle.com delivers end-to-end digital solutions, from expert web design and development to performance-driven digital marketing. Visit AmericanEagle.com today to get started with your digital transformation.
Time to find out what's on Richard Roper's mind, and apparently it's dogs. Good morning, Richard.
Always dogs, Bob. Always, always. This is so cool. I think Block Club Chicago reporting this week that they're going to have this huge indoor dog park and bar up Avondale, which is like the northwest side, right? Mm-hmm. And we have some some bougie indoor dog parks here and there, but this is going to be the first dog park and bar. They're going to call it Zoomies, which I love, because everybody knows if you have a dog, especially when they're young and they go zipping around, they have the Zoomies. You know,
yes,
like, what's wrong with this dog? He's got the Zoomies. So it's going to have day passes for $23. Membership will be $80 a month. So it's not cheap, but you know, we're looking, as you guys have been talking about, you know, we went from, you know, the blizzard, and then we got the freezing cold, and now we have a monsoon. So it's kind of cool that you'd have a place to take your dogs and get either a cup of coffee or a nice cold one.
Yeah, in some parts of the country, restaurants and bars are very dog friendly, but around here, not so much, right?
No, I think there are a few more in the summertime. You know, you can go in the outdoor cafes.
Yeah,
and I listen. I'm a dog owner, dog lover. I don't even say dog owner. I have a dog companion. He clearly is in charge of everything, my dog Jax. But I don't want to see dogs. I always feel like we're then watching like a Stanley Kubrick movie set during the Vietnam War or something, when we see dogs running wild in the bars and restaurants, right?
I don't think that's going to be happening.
I don't think so. But I will say this, Bob. I believe, this is my prediction for you. You know, we love to do the predictions for 2026, if you can believe it. I believe we will be getting a story about a couple who meets and gets engaged at Zoomies before the year is out, because you bring your dog, somebody brings their dog, you start to get, because you know immediately, okay, this is an empathetic person, they're an animal lover, then you're having a couple of drinks, and your dog, it'll be like the Lady and the Tramp, but the human version.
Now, they're calling this an indoor dog park and bar.
Yes.
I don't get the park part of this.
Well, the park, you know, it's going to be an indoor playground. They have like AstroTurf or something
that.
You know, just like the Bears could have had at one point. They decided to put a lid on Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Then you don't have players out there, you know, who are so frozen they can barely catch the ball.
3455 North Elston Avenue, and the city council approved it.
They got the liquor license and everything, so they're moving forward with construction. I think it'll be opening right around the time the new Bally's will be opening, sometime in 2026.
Yeah, who's going to open first? I think the dog park and bar.
What were once vices are now habits.
Talking about the Bears, now I missed this somehow, but a lot of people saw pigeons on the field. Was this the third quarter? Is that what
happened? Second half, I started getting texts from people. Andy probably saw this, and they were like, they're Chicago pigeons, so they're like, what's it to you? You know, they were not moving. They were on special teams. So the great Brad Biggs in the Tribune, actually, you know, he does the Q&A thing, and he says that here's what would happen if a ball, like a Caleb Williams errant pass, if you will, or a punt would hit the bird.
There's a rule?
There is an NFL rule. You know, they can't figure out what a catch is. Or a touchdown yet, or if you fumble like where you're going over the pylon, that they're still working on. Where the ref talks to you for like 50 minutes. Well, we don't know, but upheld. But yeah, they say that the play would be ruled dead. The down would be replayed. And they would probably have to take a TV timeout so they could tend to the bird, I would think.
Yeah, that would be great if it's one of those zero wind chill days. Fans are out there freezing, and the play is under review because they're checking on the pigeon rule.
Yeah. And all the other birds would gather around and take a knee, you know, for their fellow bird. Now, Bob, I did this for you, too. I compiled a list of some of the great, you know, animal sightings at sporting events through the years. And you probably remember 1969, Shea Stadium.
No, the black cat ran in front of Ron Santo in the on deck circle.
Yeah, and that's one of the most famous ones. And you see Ron Santo, you know, back in the day, they'd have like three bats. They wouldn't have a donut even, you know, the swing in the on deck circle. And he had the sleeves kind of rolled up, looked like a clat. And he was a great baseball player, obviously. And he's just looking at that cat going, you got to be kidding me. And then there was, you know, we've had different incidents of, there was a seagull that was struck by a batted ball. And then there was the very infamous and unfortunate episode that happened in 2001, the Randy Johnson fastball. that struck. Yeah. I think it was a dove, and the dove didn't make it because Randy threw about 102, right? And then remember that there were midges, little kind of fruit fly, two wing. You know, remember that it was a playoff game. It was
players were swatting
Cleveland,
those
New
things.
York, and Joba Chamberlain. They said it actually threw him off his game, and a lot of people thought that might be a plant. You know, they released the midges. And you get a lot of cases of, like, you know, the squirrels, the rally squirrels, and there's always that hapless stadium employee. You know, they send, it looks like the intern. They send him out there, and he has, like, a bucket or a towel, no experience whatsoever, and he always ends up getting bit by the iguana, or, you know, there was a bat that got loose in an NBA game. Remember that? I think it was the Spurs, and a bat was flying around, and nobody wants a bat.
At Wrigley Field, you have seagulls sometimes late in the game. But at Soldier Field, for the Bears, you get the flying rats, the pigeons.
Yeah, you get the pigeons. Now, you're such a Cubs fan. Is that because it always does seem to happen in the late innings.
Yeah.
Is that from people throwing food onto the ground, on the outfield maybe, like peanuts and Cracker Jack?
Yeah, I don't think there's that much food on the field.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know what it is.
They nest there, right? Yeah. I mean, they're there for, they don't move.
They have in San Francisco, too. It's uncanny. At their ballpark, in the seventh inning, doesn't matter if it's a night game or a day game, the seagulls fly from off the bay, and they're looking for scraps.
Fertile ground.
So they know the game's
they're
over.
Looking for scraps.
They know the Cubs are done, and they come on the field. Rich, before we let you go today, I wanted to mention something, and tell me if you think this is true.
Okay.
You know, dealing here with the Reiner family tragedy and thinking about Rob Reiner's place in the movie industry, Ron Howard comes to mind as the only other person kind of like that who achieved success as an actor and then became a tremendous director with a great body of work. I think Reiner, perhaps a more creative comic mind, but don't you find some similarities in the two professions there?
And in their lives, because of course Ron Howard...
And universally loved.
And as you know, really legitimately two of the nicest people you'll ever meet in the business. And parallel lives in a way, because, you know, Ron Howard was a child actor, so he was around the business from the time he was like 5 years old, and Rob Reiner, of course, is a legacy. He would be on the set of the Dick Van Dyke Show, so they grew up in show business. I think what's unique is that they came up in television. There are tons of film actors who have gone on to become directors and won Oscars. Robert Redford, you know, et cetera, Mel Gibson with Braveheart. But they were actors, and they had developed a lot of clout as actors so they could direct. But the difference here was these were TV guys, so they weren't going to get any special sway as directors. They just came out of the box. And Rob Reiner, one of the amazing things is that he would go so effortlessly from genre to genre.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best rom-coms of all time with When Harry Met Sally. One of the best political movies with An American President. One of the best horror movies with Misery. So he made it look so easy that it took a while for people to realize how good he was as a filmmaker.
Yeah, and true with Ron Howard as well.
Exactly. Right? You know, where they really...
Not too many like those two.
I mean, you look at the body of work for... You could... Ron Howard and Rob Reiner, you could watch their movies for an entire week and not hit a clunker.
Yeah.
Really great stuff.
Richard Roper, hey, buddy, have a great holiday.
You as well, my friend. And congratulations on one of those two announcements.
Stop it.
Really, sincerely, that's great news. Good for you. Good
and stuff. Richard Roper is sponsored by AmericanEagle.com. Need some web design, development, and digital marketing to help you? They're the ones, AmericanEagle.com.